Hello friends, we are coming to the concluding chapter of this book, Rewards, Performance Management and Reward Systems, right? So it's talking about the measuring effectiveness of PMS and reward systems, how effective it is. A very short chapter, we'll just cover through the whole thing. The learning objective is to gain an understanding of the process of evaluating effectiveness of performance management and reward systems. Understand the key parameters to measure performance management effectiveness. Just about a couple of points. The structure and the content is flowing as follows. Evaluating effectiveness of performance management and reward systems. Evaluation of effectiveness, it should read as considering cost perspective. Performance measurement, three-dimensional perspectives. And now indicative performance measures. These are all the list of the whole thing which we are using as performance measure indicators, right? Turnover rate. What is the turnover rate of the company? What's the staff satisfaction levels? Appraisal and performance management. How is it being conducted? The profits that we are generating. Length of the service distribution. Okay, distribution means the length of service over different functions and different levels at which the person is working. Vacancy rates. Workforce composition. Time taken to fill vacancies. Customer satisfaction. Reward budget cost. Competence and skill level of staff, job offer refusal rate. Okay, people who don't show up to join the company, they don't show up on the day of the joining, and it's a no-show type of a thing. So that is also mapped in. The number of refusals means there's something to do with the company's performance system not being proper. So every parameter is mapped. Measures of staff commitment, sales growths, productivity per employee, economic value addition. Measuring effectiveness of performance review in today's uncertain times. Performance reviews in most organizations are so bad, they do more harm than good. And that is actually a reality, unfortunately. And one of the reasons why it is happening is because the behavioral part of it, the culture part of it, which is abstract, is not properly communicated by the top management down the line. People are not sure, including the people who design the systems, as to what sort of expected behaviors have to be done, right? So performance reviews in most organizations are so bad that they do more harm than good. Traditional performance reviews and approaches to feedback are often so bad that they actually make performance worse by about one third of the time. If it is badly done, then the performance comes down instead of going up of the employee. Strong evidence about alternatives to performance reviews is lacking. And there doesn't seem to be anything alternative to this. But there are a few important insights that you should consider. Over the past several years, many well-known companies have experimented with different ways of doing performance evaluations, including eliminating them altogether. Now, you may wonder why performance management has to be eliminated totally. Now, one of the reasons, strong reasons for eliminating is that performance management, if it is put in place, employees tend to get tense and they tend to become manipulative. If it's an open type of a system wherein, just like in schools today, we do not have exams, you know, for the primary levels. So what happens is the nurturing of the creativity and the innovative practices, everything becomes very normal. So whenever people are not evaluated, when with the evaluation, the reward system is also not attached. When the whole system is completely open, people perform. In fact, the performance evaluation does take place, but in a very different form. It takes place in a very, very, informal form. So there is nothing like, if you do this, you'll get this. If you don't do this, you don't get this. So that has actually been a good practice in many companies of late, right? When employees are rewarded for putting themselves ahead of the colleagues and customers, it fuels greed and dysfunctional competition. There was a time when we say customer is right. Now we say employee has to be first happy, only then the customer can be happy. Imagine a company where the employees are unhappy, there's a very strong aggressive culture and they want business to come in. So when an aggressive employee who's having a huge pressure, who's stressed out, is dealing with a customer, you can imagine the plight of the customer will run away. Now this has been given a lot of thought these days. So we say employees first and customers later. Because the employees, if they're not happy, the customers will not be happy, right? So when employees are rewarded by putting themselves ahead of colleagues and customers, it fuels greed and dysfunctional competition. Good performance management system reward people who help others and do good solo work and punish free riders and backstabbers. Unfortunately, punishment is not given to people who don't work. They are just allowed to go scot-free many times because these are intangibles, you see. The exact system you use becomes less important when managers know how to have regular and constructive conversations with employees about how to improve performance. If performance feedback only occurs a few times in a year, it's unlikely to be meaningful. In contrast, when formal progress reviews are accompanied by honest feedback, then things are different, right? Centralization of reward system. When the reward system is centralized with one body or one type of, you know, structure, then we have advantages as well as disadvantages. A clear line of sight over a reward program. They can ensure local schemes align to global priorities and policies. Increase in return on investment reduces risk of potential inconsistencies. The disadvantages or the demerits are it can contradict sharply with the local demands and practices. May disengage local management if too restrictive. If it is centralized, let us say the company is located in a city A and there are other locations of the company in other places, other cities. If I centralize everything, then I may tend to overlook the type of working with the employees in the other cities are having in the same company. So I may, instead of rewarding, I may ignore those local conditions. It's possible, right? Factors for performance measurement, business perspective, customer perspective and employee's perspective have to be taken into account. Now, this is the performance pyramid for identifying performance measure. You can see the whole thing. It's very crisscrossing type of thing. There is an outcome. There are outputs. There is accomplishments. We have the agency and performance. This is a typical thing. You can go through it. You can connect. Everything is connected to everything. This particular pyramid is telling you that everything is connected with everything. I go to the extent in my trainings I tell people that a canteen, if it doesn't serve good tea, it can affect the customer service. So it is to that extent things are connected, right? And with this, I end this very, very tiny module, the last chapter, and happy reading. And please go through the performance management and the reward systems properly. But pragmatize whatever you're doing. There's no one single formula. It's all about common sense and applying the strategies of the company in place. Thank you very much.